The sixth chapter of the last book of the Bible, Book of Revelation, and the second chapter of the Book of Luke. In the second chapter of Luke, we have that wonderful Christmas message, you know, concerning peace on earth and goodwill. In the Book of Revelation, we'll have to turn to the other Bible. Johnny's been taking the pages out of this one. Now, in the second chapter of Luke, you remember the shepherds were keeping their flock by night, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, in Luke 2:13, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now notice what it says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now if you'll notice Luke 1:27, the angel sent to Mary by God with this message. And the angel came unto Mary, Luke 1:28, and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. There isn't the slightest suggestion here that Christ was born to be the head of the church. He was born to be the King of Israel. He was born in fulfillment of the 9th chapter of Isaiah. He was born to take the throne of David. It is not even suggested here that he was born to die on the cross and make peace through the blood of his cross. Now, when you study the text in the light of the context, you'll know when the peace on earth will be. It will be when the Lord God shall give unto his son the throne of David. Now we'll turn to the 6th chapter of Revelation. And you'll notice what he says here. I saw the Lamb, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Now a white horse speaks not only of a conqueror, but it speaks of one who wants to bring peace. The white horse here undoubtedly is the Antichrist. If you want to understand the 6th chapter of Revelation, you'll find the same order that is given in the 24th chapter of Matthew. There shall be false Christ, then there shall be wars and rumors of war, and famine and pestilence and earthquake. If you study the 6th chapter of Revelation with the 24th chapter of Matthew, you'll see the sequence here. Now notice, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now this second rider in the apocalypse here, the second rider represents war. And you'll notice he's on a red horse, and his work is to take peace from the earth. Now in the second chapter of the book of Luke, we find out that Christ was born to take the throne of David, to be the king of Israel, and to bring peace on earth. But in Revelation 6, something that has never taken place yet, which is yet future, there is to be one who is going to take peace from the earth. And that will be now before peace is established on the earth. Now if you have your Bible there, if you'll turn to the 12th chapter of Luke, it's very interesting to compare the second chapter of Luke with the 12th chapter of Luke. And then from the 12th chapter, we notice some words in the 19th chapter. But in the 12th chapter of Luke, notice at the 47th verse, we begin there. Luke 12, 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I have come to give peace on this earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now in the second chapter, remember at the 14th verse, the messenger of the Lord said, peace on earth. Now about 31 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question. Do you suppose that I have come to give peace on earth? Why, you'd say, yes, Lord, that's what we read in Luke 2, 14. And we read many prophecies in the Old Testament. Remember, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. If there's anything clearly taught in the Bible, it is the truth, the fact, that on this earth sometime there will be a millennium of peace and righteousness. Universal peace. Now, as we've often said, four great changes must take place before we have that peace. Satan must be in the bottomless pit. The church must be in glory with the Lord. Israel must be in their holy land, and the Lord Jesus Christ must be on the throne of David. There will be no permanent peace on this earth until Christ is on the throne of David. That will not be until after the church has been taken to glory. And it will not be until God has established his people in the Holy Land and until Satan has been put in the bottomless pit. Now you remember the Lord told in the 19th chapter the story of a certain nobleman that went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. And the Jews are represented here, and they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now when they rejected the Lord Jesus, and finally, you remember, they stoned Stephen and put Peter in jail and then rejected the testimony of Paul. And the Lord warned them in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Notice what he said. 41st verse. When the Lord was come near, he beheld the city of Jerusalem and wept over it. I tell you, if the Lord's still weeping, he'd weep over the city of Chicago. Don't you forget it. But he wept over the city of Jerusalem. You remember the Bible says that no weapon that's formed against Israel shall prosper, and he that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of mine eye, because they were God's peculiar treasure and God's elect. What advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way. Unto them was committed the articles and the sanctuary service and the giving of the law and the service of God, as we read in the 9th chapter of Romans. Now notice what Christ said when he was weeping. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. The things that belong to their peace were hid. They would not have the Lord Jesus Christ reign over them. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. I'm not going now to the throne of David. I'm going to be the stone rejected by the builder. I'm going to the cross of Calvary to receive a baptism. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he made peace by the blood of his cross. That was entirely different from the peace that's going to be established on the earth. He's called there, you know, in the 9th of Isaiah, the Prince of Peace, and in the book 13th chapter of Hebrews, God is called the God of Peace. The God of Peace who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And in Colossians 1:20 we read this, that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself. And you hath he reconciled who were alienated by wicked work. And if you come by faith to Calvary, where the Lord Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross, you can join with Paul in the statement of Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who think they have peace with God. In my neighborhood, I think the couple, the neighbors, who enjoy more peace, who are the calm, patient, long-suffering, very sincere, very religious, very moral, the best neighbors we have, they do not know one single thing about the gospel. They do not know one single thing about justification by faith. They cannot being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, when we get back to Jeremiah, where four times we read, they shall say peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's the predicament today with a great number of religious people. They speak complimentary toward the concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. They claim to be Christians. They bear his name. But they know nothing about being at peace with God according to the Word of God. And what they have is not the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The only way you can have peace is to believe that Jesus Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. That all of us are dead in trespasses and sin. We're alienated as we descend from Adam, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, and all are alienated from the life of God in Adam. And the only way we can be reconciled is by coming by faith to Calvary and believe that Jesus did make peace through the blood of his cross and receive him as our Savior. And the moment we do, then we're reconciled to God and we're at peace with God. It's another thing to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the righteousness of the law and manifest the fruit of the Spirit and day by day grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and have the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. It's one thing to be at peace with God. It's another thing to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And surely this is a time when we need something of that kind. Now let's notice in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. After we read there of the wonderful story we call the rapture of the church, saying to the saints, I would not have you sorry even as others which have no hope. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and was raised again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now when he gets through with that and saying, comfort one another with these words, he goes on in the fifth chapter. And here we have the parallel of the message, something similar to the message in Jeremiah. He says, at the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. When President Wilson went across after the close of the First World War, they formed a League of Nations. And when they formed the League of Nations, he was a strong post-millenarian, and he thought that we could bring in the kingdom and a reign of peace by teaching the people and the nations of this earth the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. And when they got to the table, he found out he could not even mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was a Christian man, a good Christian man. My boyhood companion with whom I played was Woodrow Wilson Kennedy. The church was right next door to my home. I didn't go to the church, but his sister was the wife of the pastor of the Presbyterian Church there in Little Rock. And she spoke of her brother. Then I met his two nephews with whom I associated besides this one. And they knew their uncle and said he was a consecrated Christian and loved the Lord. And he was a post-millenarian. And he thought that it was the function of the church to usher in the millennium. But when he found himself at the table there, they outvoted him and they voted Clemenceau to be the president or chairman of the League of Nations. If you've read the story of Clemenceau, he was a man who rejected all revelation of the Bible. He repudiated the claims of the apostle and he denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He had no faith in Christ, and Christ's name could not be mentioned. When I read that, I thought of the Tower of Babel. You remember way back in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. When the people, the Lord told them what to do, and they came to a place in the valley there, and they decided that they were going to stop. They thought that in union there was strength. So they said, go to, let us build us a city. And let us have a tower whose top will reach from earth to heaven. That was their religion. And they made it a brick. Now, brick speaks of humanity, and anything that is of the earth, earthy, goes from the earth to heaven. That represents man's religion. You know, in the book of John, it says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. The Lord said to the Jews who had their religion and their conceptions, he said, you are from beneath. I am from above. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Well, God was above, and undoubtedly he was talking to the Lord Jesus, who was in the form of God at that time. He said, what are they doing down there? Well, they're going to build a city and they're going to have religion, but that isn't what I told them to do. And God said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go down there and we'll destroy their city and we'll destroy their tower and we'll scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And it was called Babel, or confusion. And then they divided into nations. And the moment they divided into nations, we read of Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter. That doesn't mean he was hunting for animals. He was hunting for human beings. And they began to fight. And there were wars then, and rumors of war. And there have been wars ever since the destruction of the Tower of Babel. And the wars will continue, and the greatest wars are yet to be in the future. But there is the promise of peace. Now the Lord said here, when they cry, peace, peace, we ought to have great sympathy for our president. I think he's a Christian man. I think he's the best possible man we could have in that place right now. But just think of his problem. To go over to a conference with people who are infidels and atheists and who deny everything that is sacred to us and try to arrange for some kind of permanent peace on this earth. And they may come out of the conference and cry, peace, peace. But I want to guarantee this to you, and I'll tell you when I see you in heaven, I told you so. These four changes must take place before there'll be peace on this earth. The church must be in heaven. Christ must be on the throne of David. The Jews must be in the Holy Land, and Satan must be in the bottomless pit. How can you have peace on earth? As long as Satan is the prince of this world, as long as he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, you can't have peace on earth. You know, as we've often said, there are 20 times as many idolatrous heathen on the earth today as the total population of the world when the Lord Jesus Christ was here. Now we have the parallel, and I want you to think of a verse of Scripture, the 11th chapter of Romans, as we read now from the book of Jeremiah. Some very interesting statements, and three or four times this same statement, they shall cry, peace, peace, and there'll not be peace. Now the verse we want you to think of is this. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. When God spared not the natural branches, right after that, we talk about the nation Israel. There was a remnant according to the election of grace, and the rest were blinded. And then Paul says, behold, or I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that a blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Then all Israel shall be saved. Out of Zion shall come the deliverer who turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant when I shall take away their sin. As touching the gospel, their enemies for the Gentiles' sake. As touching the election, their beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And as you Gentiles in times past have not believed God, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Then Paul cried out, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Something that had never been prophesied, that God was going to usher in a parenthetical period, this age of grace and special favor to the Gentiles. And remember, as I've said so many times, when you see the poor Jew where he is today, remember that the Gentile is blessed in grace because of the where the Jew is. When he's down, we're up. And he is down today with all of his material prosperity and with all of his culture and so forth and all of his religion. God has given them the blindness, and they still have that blindness, and it'll be there until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, nobody was ever blessed as are the Gentiles today. Think of it. We're in the dispensation and the reign and message and program of grace, when salvation is just as free as the air you breathe. Any kind of a sinner, anywhere, anytime, can accept the grace of God and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven forever. Now, to whom much is given, much shall be required. I believe with all my heart that the greatest judgment that ever fell upon the human race anywhere will fall upon the United States. We've had more privilege and more opportunity. We have our Bill of Rights. We have Bible, the land of Bible, these Bibles. Here's a man came in and gave me this Bible, and he says, if you know anybody that hasn't a Bible who will accept Christ, write me. We have hundreds of these Bibles to give away. And if you do not give it away, you can buy one of them for 89 cents. Think of the complete will of God. And as we go out there to preach, one night we were preaching out on the street, and a couple of fellows came there and tried to rough it up. Policeman walked up. We didn't ask him at all. He took this fellow by the shoulder and said, get out of here. And he said, now, if they bother you anymore, let me know. Think of living in a land where the policemen come up and protect you while you're giving the gospel. We certainly have the opportunity. But remember what God said, he that toucheth Israel toucheth the apple of mine eye. No weapon that's formed against Israel shall prosper. They are the Lord's elect. Now he said, if God spare not the natural branches, the Jews, take heed lest he spare not thee. And after the church goes to glory, the most awful, terrific judgment and the wrath of God that ever fell upon the human race will fall. And then I think we'll have very much what we have here. Now notice in Jeremiah, I'm going to read the verses, and if you want the references, I'll give them to you. First, Jeremiah 4. Notice, he says in the 8th verse, for this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. And the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, our Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem. You have said, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. That was, of course, because Israel rejected the Lord 3 times, remember. Israel rejected the Lord in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Israel rejected the Lord when Jesus Christ was here as the Son of Man. And he told them that that rejection would be forgiven if they would not resist the Holy Spirit. But after the Holy Spirit came, they rejected the Lord the 3rd time. So Israel had 3 wonderful opportunities to receive the Lord. They rejected, and at last, you know what happened in the year 70? We are told in Josephus and the other historian, by other historian, that 2 million Jews were surrounded near the city of Jerusalem by Titus in the year 70 A.D. 1 million of them died by the sword, and 2 months later, when they went to the city of Jerusalem, they found there the million that were starving to death. And in fulfillment of Deuteronomy, the mothers were eating the flesh of their own infants. As we preached some time ago, 7 times in the Bible it says God became angry. Some people think that God is a big jellyfish of love. I want to say to you, my dear friends, there's more said about the wrath of God in the Bible than about the love of God. Why do you suppose Jesus Christ cried on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord warned them 3 different times what would come. Now we turn again to the 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And remember always those verses in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Unto us a son is given, a child is born. And he said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He shall sit on the throne of his father David. It will not be because the people will want him there. It will be, as we said, because it is the work of the Lord of hosts. Now in the 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, remember these verses here at the 11th verse of the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. He says in the 11th verse, therefore I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad. And for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We have the same statement in the 8th chapter, the 11th to the 15th. We have it in the 14th chapter, the 19th verse. We'll read that as the last scripture. In the 14th chapter of Jeremiah, well, we'll read from the 17th verse. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with a sword. If I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into the land, and they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing of us? We look for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. How many people do you think today have been led into skepticism and infidelity and doubt by the post-millenarians who've told them that the world's going to get better and better, and the church is going to usher in the millennium? And here in one generation, I was just of the right age to go when the Spanish-American War broke out. I thought maybe that to go, but in my lifetime, think of the wars that we've had. The Russian-Japanese War, the First World War, the Second World War, the Spanish-American War, and all these wars, and they're nothing to compare to the wars that are yet coming. And all the trouble on this earth is, my dear friend, toward the collapse of civilization, is because the nations have forgotten God, and the people have left the Lord Jesus Christ out of all their planning. He's the Prince of Peace. He's coming. But before he comes as the Prince of Peace, the man on the red horse is coming, and peace is going to be taken from the earth. But thank God they can never take peace from you if you've been by faith to Calvary, where Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. If you want to say, being justified by faith, I have peace with God, you receive Christ as your Savior.